It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. And today we are back at New Japan Destruction, looking at Destruction in Kobe with my good friend, Christy from Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts. How are you, Mom?
Hi, I'm doing great, actually. It's really nice for me to be doing this in the evening and not 10 minutes before I have to have dinner. I get really nervous if we're going to make it, so this is nice.
We always try and look after you on Saturdays when we record on Saturdays and make sure that you're gone in time.
Yeah, you try, but it doesn't always work out that way.
No, and to be fair, I have a partner at home waiting for her tea as well, and I try to get back for her. But today we're recording on Wednesday.
Yes.
This is like record turnaround for us. Won't go out till Monday, but we're recording on a Wednesday. It's pleasant. And we're recording about New Japan Destruction. What are your thoughts on the tour overall, Christy, before you got to this particular match? What did you think of this particular card? What did you think of the direction of the tour? Because Destruction is always a bit of an odd one. It's kind of between G1 Final and between King of Pro Wrestling. So it's neither one thing or another. What do you think has been happening? What do you think has been good or bad?
I think it's been fun, mostly because I'm a Chaos girl. I mean, I'm an LRJ girl, and I'm a Suzuki Gun girl, but I'm also a Chaos girl. And watching everything with them has been amazing and entertaining. And I've got it written down in my notes somewhere as well that it's kind of interesting that LIJ and Suzuki Gun are their stables right now.
Yes, the most unstable stables.
Yes. And they're the ones that are doing okay and being nice to each other and being loyal. Meanwhile, the others are all a bit of a mess.
Yes.
Either they're at the tail end of breaking up or they're in the middle of breaking up. So I find that really interesting. And especially about Chaos. I can't wait to see what this results in. Even if I'm a bit terrified to see where everyone's going.
Well, I guess we'll talk about this at the end, but Chaos wasn't always Chaos. It was GBH to start with, wasn't it? So It's an evolution of an evolution, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to it at the end.
Yes. Right then, let us begin at the beginning, which started with a match featuring Yota Tsuji against Yuya Uemura. I think I got it closer this time than I did with Marcus last week.
Uemura?
Uemura, that's better. They went to a time limit draw of 10 minutes for the 15th time. Both these two look very impressive. What did you think of this one, Christy?
I like this because I like Young Lions. I like just getting to know them and watching them grow because there's no expectations for them. You're not going to rate their matches and be really disappointed if they don't get a 5-star match. You're just going to watch them and see how they do and watch them grow over every event that you watch. And these two, I think, have been really great. I mean, last crop of Young Lions were really great. Umino was great. Kawato was great. Ren Narita is really great. Oka was really great. And then these two show up, and they're also great. I'm like, where do you find these guys?
It's interesting to note as well, they're not like indie wrestlers usually.
No.
I mean, like David Finlay, Juice Robinson, and Jay White were not the norm of pre-trained before they got to the dojo. That's not normally the way things happen. There's been great names. I mean, Too Cold Scorpio, Chris Benoit, those guys did that. But generally speaking, it's guys they've recruited from rugby or football or from other sports and they've put into this. Speaking of Tomoyuki Oka, was stood behind me in the catering queue at the British Media Wrestling Con. And brilliantly, someone asked for his autograph and he just turned around and went, £10.
That is like, a smart way of doing
it,
though.
You have learned a lot, young sir. You will go far.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah, I like these two. I like that there's also a bit of a contrast between them. You've got Tsuji, who is the big one. He's the terrifying one. He's really expressive and he's loud and he's really present in the ring when you see him. Mm. And meanwhile, Uemura is a bit more restrained, a bit more sleek and smooth, and he has to react to what Tsuji is doing. and he's also a bit more the underdog. And I like that they play with that already, even though it's always going to be a draw. There's also always an underdog in the match.
Yeah, they've given them a story and they're learning how to execute it. And it's a story that's probably going to follow them through their careers, you know. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, you only have to look back at the early Young Lions matches. Like, Okada's tryout match was against Tetsuya Naito when he was a Young Lion. And he'd come in from Dragon Gate it would be Dragon Gate that back then, I think, after training with Ultimo Dragon. And he comes into New Japan and has this staff match against Tetsuya Naito. And it's a story that's still going on today, you know, literally 10 years later.
Weird how that goes, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Maybe in 10 years, one of these guys will be the top star and the other one will be trying to dethrone him.
Indeed. Well, moving on and thinking still about the Young Lions, Ren Narita and Shota Umino put in a game performance against Rapingi 3K. They lost 8 minutes and 46 seconds, but to be honest, both of them looked like stars in this match, and Rapingi 3K gave them an awful lot to work with, but most enjoyable, and it's nice to see the Young Lions actually getting some headway in a match against some big stars, and I really enjoyed it. What did you think?
Oh, I was so excited about this one. Shota is by far my favourite Young Lion. I even got someone to send me an autograph of his for me, and it was really nice. And they took a picture with it and made me really happy. I'm a child. I like Narita as well. And Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K are also huge favorites of mine. They're just so much fun. They're exciting. They're young. They're bubbly. Their relationship with Rocky is really entertaining and really fun. And this match between these two teams made me want to see Narita and Shota in the juniors tag team tournament.
Are they running that this year? Or
I don't know.
Because they don't always run it. They don't always have time.
I don't know if they are, but it made me think about that. What would that be like? And I don't even know if they want Umino to be a junior. Because he's been getting bigger and they've been giving him a lot more attention. He's got a bit more to play with. They gave him a couple of more moves. And I think he's someone they look at as being a big star for the future. But I just saw it and I was like, I want to see them in a tournament together.
It was interesting. I was reading the Eggshells book, right, which is Chris Charlton's book about like the history of the Tokyo Dome. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how back in the day, like nowadays, like Shota Umino and Ren Narita are probably going to go in the next 3 or 4 months. They'll go off on their excursion to Ring of Honor or CMLL or Rev Pro or whatever.
Yeah. And
they'll be what they call salaryman wrestlers. They'll be on a fixed fee. Rev Pro won't pay them any money or Ring of Honor anyone. They'll just be paid per month a salary. That's what they call it, a salaryman wrestler. Back in the 90s, they didn't even pay them. They were off to go and make their own way for 2 years. We'll call you back when we need you. And they nearly lost a bunch of New Japan, nearly lost a bunch of guys to World Japan because there was no one there to say, don't sign for them. And they weren't getting guaranteed money. So they invested all this money into training up guys like Shinya Hashimoto, then sending them off to Germany or the Southern United States. And they had no guarantee they were ever going to come back.
That sounds terrifying as well for those guys. No guarantees at all.
No guarantees.
Just go to Mexico and whatever.
Brian Crabtree will look after you if you come wrestle in the UK for 3 months.
If you die, well.
Yeah. Man who does not speak English on the other side of the world at 23 years old. Exactly what you need to do. Yeah, just like the insanity of it all. But this is even like going on in the 90s. Like now, at least they're looked after and at least they get a guaranteed income. So if like they're absolutely rubbish at what they do, then they're not going to get like failed out.
I mean, it still sounds terrifying to me to be by yourself in a strange country. And yeah, you have some people who help take care of you and you make money, but it still sounds terrifying to me. So I can only imagine what it's like when you have no guarantees at all.
Having talked to Gaijin wrestlers who've wrestled in Japan and done that lifestyle, it is pretty terrifying. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them find it very, very scary indeed. But sometimes it works the other way. I mean, Masa Chono obviously has a German wife. you know, so he clearly enjoyed going around and found his family. But one of the reasons why he looked after Jessie Gabbetts so much when she worked for Stardom is because of the fact that she knew how terrifying it was to go live in a different country and, you know, just can't speak to anyone, you know. It's a different thing, isn't it? You know, it's don't know the language, don't know where anything is, can't buy a pair of shoes. So, yeah, it's interesting, that kind of dynamic that learning excursions, but I suppose that's really what they're for, I guess. But, you know, there is such a thing as overly going in the deep end.
Yeah.
Okay, then we move on to the next match, which was really interesting, but it's incredibly short. Current IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemura Suzuki-gun lost to the legends that are Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask in 6 minutes and 50 seconds, which has lined up Tiger and Liger for a tag team title shot, presumably at King of Pro Wrestling, in a thoroughly entertaining match, and they won clean as well. What did you think of this one, Christy?
Well, I saw this on the match list things, and I was like, there's going to be shenanigans. And then the first minute, you had Suzuki-gun ambushing them from behind on the ramp, and I'm like, yes, here we go. And I think everyone was surprised that happened. No one saw this coming.
No one.
And these two teams are really a lot of fun. I mean, Desperado is a favorite of mine, and he's always going to be his entertaining douchebag self, and he ragdolls like a pro for every move, and he and Liger are just so hilarious together. You can tell that they've got a similar type of humor.
Yeah, definitely.
And Tiger and Kanemura may not have the same type of humor, but
I'm not even sure they've got a sense of humor.
Yeah, but that's also the entertaining part of it. They're the contrast to the craziness that is their tag team partner.
I was going to say, but Kanemura's facial expressions in this match and his shock at the fact Tiger kicked out of everything he threw at him was brilliant. And Kanemura earned his money in this match.
That's also his thing, and it's hilarious to me. He's always shocked by... Either he's shocked or he doesn't care. I remember one backstage promo where Desperado said, "Oh my God, Noble, I thought I was going to die." And Kanemura was like, "Oh well." That was literally what he said. And I was that's so Kanemura. That's... Drunk old Nobu, as people like to call him, the drunk uncle. he just doesn't care, or he walks away, or he's drinking, and oh well, if Desperado dies, whatever. He's still got Saka, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he can use Taka eventually, get around to it. If he can.
Yeah, they've got a spare, right?
Yeah. So what do you think? Who's going to win this particular matchup coming up at King of Pro Wrestling? Do you think guys can pull it out? Say old guys, because Kanemura isn't exactly young. But do you think they could pull out a sneak one last tag run for the legends?
I don't know. I don't want them to, because I'm clearly in Desperado's corner. But they've been holding on to those titles quite a long time, I think. I think someone said that they're reaching some sort of goal.
Yeah, I mean, just not long after New Beginnings, but they haven't defended them much either, to be fair. So, because they were due to defend against Hiromu and Bushi, wasn't they?
Yeah, there's not that many teams to defend against.
No, that's another thing they need to kind of sort out.
Which is why my idea of Young Lions was so entertaining to me.
Yes, it's not a bad idea. I mean, it's like they're going to probably ship... If they do run the Junior Tag Team Tournament, they're probably going to ship some people in from Ring of Honor and CMLL to cover bases.
And there's a bit of hinting with LIJ, but we'll get to that, I think.
Indeed.
During the LIJ match.
Okay, then, the next match was Tenkoji Hiroshi Tenzan Satoshi Kojima, the greatest tag team in New Japan Pro Wrestling history. Old Lumpy himself, Manabu Nakanishi, and Yuji Nagata. They defeated Great Bash Heel, Togi Makabe, Tomiyako Honma, Ayuta Yoshida, and Raisuke Taguchi in 9 minutes and 56 seconds. Was all right, really. Nice to see Satoshi Kojima doing good stuff since his illness, and I'm glad he's back. What did you think of this?
To be honest, I only watched bits of this because Honma was in the match.
Yeah.
So whenever he tagged in, I tagged out.
I've got to say with Honma as well, I'm glad he's well and he's fit and he's wrestling, but he shouldn't be doing Kikeshi headbutts anymore.
Because he should be doing so many things.
Yes.
But... I mean, there's also the contrast of him being so beloved.
Yeah.
By the crowd. And I know what he's done to his wife.
Mm.
And I'm reminded of that whenever he gets into the ring and everyone cheers. And I'm like, yeah, but he's not that nice of a guy.
No. That's the thing.
And it makes it even worse. If he's a heel, then I don't know. I just don't enjoy him. But anyway, focusing on the other guys in the match. Yoshida?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to watch a lot of him because he was always teamed up with either Honma or Mr. We Don't Name Him.
Yes.
But
we did say last week it was awfully unfair to stick him in a handicap match against Killer Royale Squad. It was
They really wanted to see how well he'd do.
Yes.
He did really well.
Yes, he did.
And he's been great this tour. I mean, the few matches I've been able to see included two singles matches. And I thought the one against Chase was really good. And the one against Takashi Iizuka was even reasonably entertaining.
Yes, it was.
Iizuka
had his work
boots
on for that one. Yeah. Sorry?
I hope they bring him back. I'm not sure what the deal is.
I'm guessing he's just been on loan from Kaientai Dojo. And trying to give him some more exposure. Maybe Taka was like, hey, can you do us a favor? Because this guy is really, really good and we need some... He needs to be wrestling more people. Because Kaientai don't run as many shows as New Japan do, to be fair. And they obviously have a more limited talent pool because they're kind of a dojo and they're not really a big on wrestling company. You know, they do have the K-Dojo division, which is more the big on wrestling company. So, yeah, I mean, if he's just looking for somewhere to work then and try and give some exposure, he's in a good place. But he's really good. You know, two years in, he's really, really good. And hopefully they'll give him more, I hope.
Yeah, I've seen it mentioned that Meltzer said something about him possibly being in New Japan more.
Mm. It'd be nice.
And New Japan kept calling him a young lion.
Yeah. Well, if they've picked him up for his own dojo, for their dojo, and he's probably doing some training seminars with like the older guys there, like, you know, I'm trying to think, Kojima and Tenzan and Nagata, then, you know, partly may have gone for that, and then trying to see what is outlaid in there, you know, because they do that occasionally, because obviously they like pro wrestling and they want more pro wrestlers, so they will help people out a lot, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see.
And the same thing in NXT, do the same thing, you know, when Kenta, he's not Kenta now, but when he first went to WWE, it was just to go do some seminar training, whilst he was still part of Noah. And then they decided to hire him, so there you go. Now then,
the rest of the match?
Yes?
I was really glad to see Kojima back as well.
Yes, definitely.
Brad Uncle should always be back, and I think I was almost as happy about him being back as Tenzan must have been.
Yeah, Hiroshi must have been bored out of his mind for like the last 6 months because he's had nothing to do, because they don't really run Hiroshi by himself.
Yeah, and his wrestle husband wasn't there.
Yeah,
so
yeah, his best
that's
mate.
Always sad.
Yeah.
Sorry?
His best mate. They've been through
a lot
together.
Yes, we call them wrestle husbands.
Wrestle husbands. Well, they are wrestle dads, aren't they?
Yeah, and Tenzan got really jealous when Sami Callihan kissed Kojima.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really entertaining to me.
As you should.
Sorry?
As you should, because Sami Callihan's awful.
And the match was basically the uncles kicking Taguchi's ass.
Yes,
literally.
His ass.
Yeah. Yes.
No one stole Sakura Hirota's moves this week, so I was well happy with that.
Sharing is caring, though.
She's the woman is a Joshi legend, and
sharing
she deserves more respect.
Sharing is caring.
Okay, well, speaking of sharing is caring, the next match features the best friends versus Killer Elite Squad. Beretta and Chucky T defeat, get one win back in perhaps the only tag feud I care about right now. Best Friends versus Killer Elite Squad is awesome, just because you've got the ridiculousness of Trent Barretta and Chucky T against the dead serious hard-casedness of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer, and both teams are playing their parts to perfection. I don't think Lance Archer was too keen on the idea of me suggesting that Harry Smith's only job in ITV World of Sport Wrestling is to recruit Grado to Suzuki Gun. Because when I asked him, he said, those decisions are not up to me.
Oh, gosh.
Like, okay, well, I was just joking once, but seriously, that kind of like makes it seem even more plausible now because you're covering up the answer. But I want Grado in Suzuki Gun. I don't want him to change a thing. That's it. I want him to be Grado, and everyone ignores him. He just does the hand slap in the Madonna intro, and then Suzuki walks behind him, and Grado does exactly the same thing Grado does in ICW and on Impact Wrestling, where he just does it in New Japan with Suzuki killing people in the background, and I think that would be amazing.
Okay, and how long before he ends up dead?
I don't know. I think they need the over a 6 month period. You slowly turn him into this killer hooker. As Zack Sabre and Minoru like work their magic, and it slowly drip feeds into him, and he just snaps one day and puts on a rear naked choke against Liger or something in a tag match and nearly kills him.
You don't think Suzuki snaps before that and kills him?
No. Minoru would understand, and he'd just let him do his
okay,
thing.
Sure.
I've got this plan in my head, and I just think it'd be awesome, but I don't think anyone would ever listen to me.
Well, it's creative.
Yeah, I don't want any, and Grado just isn't fazed by anything. He just shrugs off and just goes and does. Yeah, it's going to be ace.
Maybe in the future.
In the future, this is the same place in my brain where I wanted El Ligero to be part of Los Ignorables in Japan.
Well, we all want a lot of strange things.
True.
So,
but then he went and signed with WWE and ruined it for me.
Could never still happen. Have faith.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just happy he's not wrestling five times a day, you know. And he doesn't have to anymore.
True.
Anyway, let's move back. Where was we? Best Friends versus Killer Elite Squad. 12 minutes and 41 seconds after that flight of fancy. This was awesome. Just love these two teams. And I would watch them wrestle forever and a day. What did you think of this, Christy?
This was fun. KES versus Best Friends is basically We Hate Everyone versus Friendship is Magic. And that is just really entertaining to me.
Yeah.
The fact that you've got, on one side, you've got these guys who seem almost angry that someone is having positive feelings around them. Like, how dare you like each other when we're here being mean and angry? It's also the irony of Archer being the way he is. When 20 minutes later, he's going to have his Twitter campaign again about wanting his water entrance back.
Yeah.
And then an hour afterwards, you see his Instagram feed, and he's got nothing but him with his dogs and his cats and his whatever. And it's just this confirmation that wrestling is so, so weird. And I love it.
Yeah.
And I did feel bad for, I've got written down here in my notes, I feel bad for whoever Killer Elite Squad decides to take their frustration out on after that surprise loss they took. And then it says, oh, they killed Umino.
Yeah, I just love this. I hope they have another go at King of Pro Wrestling, because that'd be ace.
Well, they should, though, because it's 1-1, right?
Yeah, they need a rubber match. Winner gets whoever wins the tag titles at... they've announced all the matches for Long Beach, haven't they? So, ideally, you would want Best Friends versus Suzuki Gun at Long Beach, and then whoever wins that gets them at King of Pro Wrestling.
I haven't looked at the schedule, but Best Friends got Goto, right? And against...
Yeah.
Some team
would it be KAS and somebody else?
Maybe.
The tough thing is they don't send Davey Boy and Lance Archer to the American shows very often, do they?
I don't know. I didn't look at the schedule. I just know that someone said that Goto was paired up with them, I think. Yeah.
Really find it really bizarre that they don't sign Harry Smith and Lance Archer, two guys who had a massive presence in the US, to the US shows, because they'd rather keep them in Japan. It's like,
yeah, well, there's a reason. There's also a reason why a person we don't mention isn't on that show.
True, very true. Yes.
Anyway.
We'll not move on. Anyway, yes. We'll move on to Chaos, Jay White, Will Ospreay, and Yoshihashi. They defeated Dave Finlay, Juice Robinson, and Toa Henry in 9 minutes and 5 seconds. A surprisingly cohesive performance by Chaos in this match. I believe we call that foreshadowing. Having, you know, going each other's road for the entire tour, they eventually managed to win a match. What did you think of this one, Christy?
This is another one where I knew it was going to end up being some kind of mess. Not so much Ospreay, because unless Ibushi is involved, he doesn't care. But Yoshihashi and Jay White on the same team is always going to end up with ridiculousness. And then you've got Juice, Finlay, and Henare, who are just having fun and being crazy, and who cares that Chaos is imploding around them. They don't care. And then Jay White was being shockingly supportive of Yoshihashi during the beginnings of this match, and I just spent most of the match yelling at him on Twitter. Because it was crazy and it was strangely cathartic, and he's an instigating, untrustworthy little shit.
Yes, so, yes, he is. But we will have more of that at the end of the show. So,
well,
yeah.
in the end, he ended up hitting Yoshihashi in the face.
Yes,
and Yoshi left really angry. So.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we'll move on to the next match, which featured Evil, Sanada, and Tetsuya Naito, Los Ignorables de Japón, and they defeated Suzuki Gun, Minoru Suzuki, Taki Michinoku, and Zack Sabre Jr. in 11 minutes and 20 seconds, which was really inconsequential as it was 11 minutes and 20 seconds. We'll probably around about close to 15 minutes of Minoru Suzuki attempting to murder Tetsuya Naito over and over and over again. As this entire tour has been, to be fair, with help from his friends. no one in Suzuki Gun is happy at the minute. They're all miserable. And this was further, you know, losing to Naito at Beppu was not good for Minoru Suzuki's psyche. He is not taking it well. He tried to kill Naito and everybody else again. And it was an all-over-the-place match. It wasn't as smooth as kind of you'd expect a LIJ match to be, with slick double teams. Or even a slick Suzuki Gun, because Suzuki Gun are good at double teams as well. In fact, they're probably the two best outfits at double teams in the company. And it wasn't as slick as all that. This was a bit more disjointed and a bit more realistic, I think. But thoroughly enjoyable for what it was. And Suzuki still hates Naito. We kind of said last week it was kind of unofficial that Naito versus Suzuki got Jericho somewhere down the line. But I still think that stands. And I'm still saying I'd still prefer to see Suzuki against Jericho first, then go after Naito. But as it goes, it's still fun watching Naito and Suzuki trying to kill each other. So what did you think of this, Christy?
Yeah, well, I think what you said about it not being as smooth is also a bit of a story in itself.
Yeah.
Because Suzuki is so focused on Naito, he doesn't really care about the match.
No.
And that has been the case in the last couple of matches. I think it was 2 shows ago where someone got pinned, either Taka or Kanemaru, it's always either of these two. And Suzuki could have broken it up, but he didn't, because he was too busy trying to choke Naito to death.
Yeah.
To really care about the match. So it not being smooth would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care about what's happening in the ring.
No, he just despises Tetsuya Naito. And I guess that's probably going to be a blow-off match at Wrestle Kingdom. We can think of that now. But they're going to have to build it up as something big, because Suzuki last year, going against Goto, they made that big, but it kind of reduced Suzuki a little bit. And Suzuki's had a good run this year, and he could make something special with Naito, but it all depends on what Jericho's up to, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and there was also a bit of Evil versus Jericho, and they seem to be going for towards Evil versus Zack now.
Yeah.
But I would have enjoyed seeing that. Evil versus Jericho. Sorry.
I was going to say I want to hold off on Naito versus Jericho till it's really necessary. Basically, I guess.
Yeah. Either way, Naito, it feels like he's been feuding with Suzuki for most of the year, so his body must be bruised as hell.
Yeah, it's not much fun. Watching Minoru Suzuki shoot videos in the last couple of weeks as I've done to fill some time up, and it's just like, oh my god, you were so good as a shooter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big MMA fan, but watching those MMA matches and the shoot style wrestling that he used to do, it's like, you were ridiculous.
But they're both so good, and I think that might also be why I was really interested in Evil versus Jericho. Like, Jericho is another of those guys who can really up their opponent's game.
Yeah.
They can really get into it. Naito can make anyone seem interesting. And Suzuki can make anyone the underdog. And Jericho can do the same. So putting Suzuki versus Naito again feels like you're taking away from someone else's shot at that position.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we've done this already.
Yeah.
And we've also done Naito versus Jericho already. So.
Yeah, leave it. Well, I'll come back to it later.
Yeah. If Jericho is interested in that. Because if this is the last thing he wants to do, then I'd want to go out against Naito as well.
Yeah. Break glass in case of emergency kind of matches.
Yeah.
Right, the next matchup was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tournament semi-final match in their mini-tournament that they're running for the vacant title vacated by Hiromu Takahashi after his injury at the Cow Palace. Now, in this particular match, Kushida defeated Bushi in 16 minutes and 41 seconds. This was a lot of fun to match, and it was quite clear that Bushi put an awful lot into this match, as did Kushida, to be fair. And it was kind of... I don't want to say it was disappointing, Kushida won, because Kushida doing anything is never disappointing. But it was a bit of a letdown for the Kobe crowd, because they clearly seemed to be behind Bushi in this one. What did you think of the match?
I wanted this to be the final of this little tournament. I like Kushida a lot, and I've missed him a lot because he hasn't been on New Japan regularly. He's been commentating a bit, and he's been here and there. But he's been gone for most of it. And Bushi is a favorite. He might not be my favorite LIJ member, but he's always there. And the crowd was so clearly in favor of Bushi winning. It was the feel-good story. Everyone wanted him to win for Hiromu, but also for himself. And if there was this poll that they did, and he got like... more than 4,000 of the votes, which was more than all other three combined. So it was clear people wanted him to win. I kind of knew he wouldn't. Not just because I'm not that lucky, but because Kushida has great matches with guys like Ospreay.
Yeah.
And with guys like Skrull. And Bushi maybe not so much. And I could see Ospreay versus Kushida being the final, because Ospreay and Kushida are two really big rivals of Hiromu.
Yeah.
So whichever one it is, you've got something to build on when Hiromu comes back, if they're still the champion then.
Yeah.
And if you do this with Bushi, you don't want the nice, how do I explain this? Bushi winning would put him as an asshole when he tries to beat Hiromu when he goes back.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to put him in that position. You want, when that feud actually ends up happening, you want to have some really good reason for them to dislike each other.
Yeah.
For this to be exciting and... not because Bushi happened to win a tournament because Hiromu got injured. I don't think that's a story that's as interesting as slowly falling apart and becoming enemies might be.
Yeah, and there's also the fact New Japan don't think about things short term. They're thinking about things 6 months down the line. Where does this leave us? Sure, Bushi winning this tournament gives you a nice pop at King of Pro Wrestling, but you're going to get a bunch of nice pops at King of Pro Wrestling no matter what happens. So you have to kind of like, well, sometimes we have to forego the short-termism to make the long-term make more sense. It's kind of thing WWE used to do. They used to do the short-term thing all the time. You know, you'd be get surprise wins of championship belts on house shows and stuff, and still do it recently. I mean, like AJ Styles winning the US title at Madison Square Garden a couple of years ago was a big kind of deal at the time, but it is like it was only a short-term shot. It was just a shot in the arm, dropped the title back a couple of days later. It wasn't seen on TV, so it didn't lose anybody out for anything for anybody. But it is just a bit of a, you know, it's short-term. It's not long-term storytelling. It's not the way you really need to think to make decent money. Not that WWE is making poor money, don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean? It's this kind of long-term booking is much more fruitful for the company in the long term.
Yeah, and it makes me sad though, because Bushi is good. He might not be Hiromu, but he's great, and he has so many fans. He has so many fans, even in America, in Japan, in everywhere, and he never seems to get his shot. And that makes me sad. I wish they would do something with him. They may do something with him now because we didn't talk about it. We said we would. But the hinting that Naito's been doing about a new LIJ member.
Mm-hmm.
And they might get Bushi a partner for a possible tournament. Or they might just get another heavyweight or just anyone. Because Naito has been hinting that Hiromu suggested someone.
This would be interesting. I'd have to change the ending of the matches, ending of the evening when they were main events as well, though.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
You'd have to change the ending, the big convoluted LIJ ending.
Yeah, call him Hiromu's replacement.
All right, then we move on to the main event of the evening. The IWGP Heavyweight Championship number one contender matchup featuring Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchika Okada in 35 minutes and 43 seconds. The current number one contender maintained his position in a match that adds another chapter to the legend of the greatest feud in professional wrestling of the last 30 years. This was another outstanding match, and it's so hard for these two to do something new and fresh and exciting every time. There wasn't as much pressure on this match because it wasn't King of Pro Wrestling, or it wasn't at Dominion, or it wasn't at the Tokyo Dome. So it was kind of a lesser match, and I suppose that's kind of the story they were trying to tell. There was a lot of desperation from Okada. He's desperately trying to get back to the championship picture, and he doesn't know how to get back there at the moment. That's still something he's working on. And that was the story of the match, but the story of the end of the match, well, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's get your thoughts on the match itself, Christy.
Yeah, and give me a moment to get ready for that after the match bit. First of all, hair.
We haven't talked about hair today.
No, we haven't. So I'm just going to shoehorn this in at the very end. Well, it's Tanahashi, so... how cute was Tanahashi's hair?
It was very nice.
It was adorable. A+.
I've got to say, actually, this week, I didn't tag you in it, and I should have done it. There was a picture of Sergeant Slaughter in the AWA in the 1970s. Glorious coif. Looked amazing. I'll send you the picture. It's like blonde.
Dare you not send me that.
I apologize. I tagged Cy and Chelsea into it, and I forgot to tag you.
Are we not friends?
Well, yes, I've got to put you on the mullet watch list now.
Gosh, I did the whole hair tournament.
You did. I will put you on the mullet list.
You should have sent it to me first.
I'm sorry. I will make sure I'll send it to you now.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
Let's continue. you say that this match wasn't a big match, but it still was very loaded in many ways.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it was the center of several storylines. You've got not just the briefcase itself, which is a big enough story on its own. Who gets the briefcase, who gets the main event. But then you've got this added, the history between Okada and Tanahashi. You've got Tanahashi trying to court Yoshihashi away from chaos, and Okada being so busy with Tanahashi and his briefcase that he doesn't notice that his entire stable is falling apart around him. He's not doing anything about it, really. When he's in matches, he's laughing at him and he's apologizing to Yoshihashi and he's looking at Jay White, but he's not really doing anything. And he did a couple of backstage promos saying, I don't have time to focus on chaos. I have to focus on that briefcase.
Hmm.
So that's the story as well, because Tanahashi is really instrumental in helping Chaos fall apart, really.
Yes, he's been doing that a lot lately. I mean, Tanahashi has also made some sly comments towards Kenny Omega as well about how he respected Prince Devitt and AJ Styles because they were about Bullet Club and not about themselves. And Kenny isn't. Kenny's about himself alone. And we'll use people. And that's like, that's pretty harsh talk, Hiroshi.
And then Tanahashi is basically showing that Okada cares more about
himself,
the title and himself, than he cares about his team. Because he's been kind of not okay with Tanahashi talking to Yoshihashi, but only when he was there.
Yeah.
It's like, when I'm there, you're insulting me when you're trying to lure someone away. But when I'm not involved, then I don't care.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
yeah. It's basically showing, we talked about LIJ and Suzuki-gun. It's basically showing that Naito and Suzuki, though they have very different ways of being leaders, they are leaders.
Yeah.
Okada is more a leader by circumstance.
Yes, if Shinsuke hadn't left. Yeah. And it was noticeable as well, Shinsuke was always the leader, despite the fact that Kazuchika was the heavyweight champion. The leader of, the undoubted leader of Chaos was Shinsuke Nakamura. It was bequeathed to Kazuchika Okada when Nakamura left the company.
And even when Okada was leading, you had Gedo next to him.
Yes.
Like, how much is Gedo telling him what to say, what to do? And so it feels like that to me, that he's not so much, he doesn't want to be a leader. He wants to be a leader because it's a respect thing and he thinks he deserves it, but he doesn't want to lead.
No.
So he doesn't really care about a Yoshihashi. He doesn't care about a Goto. He doesn't care about a Yano. And he doesn't care about a Jay White because he thinks he's so much better. And that's Jay White and Tanahashi are very different sides of the same coin, really. They're doing the same thing, just one is doing it from the right reasons, Tanahashi, and from the outside, and then Jay White is doing it from within because he wants to break Okada and break Chaos.
There was also interesting comments as well this week from Bad Luck Fale about the difference between Kenny Omega and AJ Styles as leader. And one of the things he noticed was AJ Styles was kind of forced upon Bullet Club, whereas Devitt was kind of organically from Bullet Club. And one of the things AJ actually did in a completely non-kayfabe sense was went into a room and explained and said, I'm really sorry, you didn't want me as your leader, you've got me anyway, but I will do my very level best to be the best leader I can be. Which I thought was really interesting, because I'm not sure you would have that conversation with Kazuchika Okada. It was just, you know, and that was obviously in a, you know, AJ's job is to protect Bullet Club, to protect, like, the investment those guys have put into that storyline, because AJ walked into the company and was made a star straight away, and he got that lineage that the work other people had done, and which is kind of a similar thing that Okada had to deal with taking over there. But you can see them not in the reality of it, it's just a storyline. But there is, you know, Chaos is those guys, they are really important, and that kind of attitude is not going to make for a happy environment in a non-working sense, in a shoot sense either. But I mean, they were being quite happy for a while because, you know, everything was working fine, and now they've got this glorious storyline to work with.
Yeah, and I think it's mostly kayfabe, though. I think Okada is good friends with all of them. But I think it's also a case of Chaos having really stable guys. I think if Chaos had been Bullet Club, it would have imploded ages ago.
Yes. These are all people who think really hard.
Yoshihashi and Goto and Ishii, they're not going to get angry over some little thing. they're not guys like that. So their characters are not like that.
No.
They're much more loyal.
But you can also see the backlash for them is going to be epic.
Yeah, and I'm also really curious where everyone's going to go.
Well, according to the latest lineups, it seems like Chaos is just Chaos at the moment, just minus Jay White.
Yeah, but is that just for the next show?
Yeah, that could be just for the next show, but we'll see how the players fall out.
Because it's just one show, it's not a tour, and they like to the storylines, they like to progress it during the tour.
Yeah.
So,
to give you a quick potted history of Chaos, it wasn't always Chaos. GBH, that is the tag team that Tomoyuki Honma and Togi Makabe was Chaos. Okay, which was founded by Hiroshi Tenzan, who these days is a face, but back then was Great Bash heel. This was around about 2009-10. And he founded GBH, or Great Big Head, as they were known to the Japanese fans because of Hiroshi Tenzan's great big head.
Good description.
Yes. And then after a while, Makabe came along, challenged Tenzan for the leadership of GBH, beat him up, kicked him out, and then eventually Shinsuke Nakamura did the same thing to Togi Makabe that he had done to Hiroshi Tenzan, took over the leadership, renamed GBH as Chaos, and that's where we've been ever since. And former members of GBH and Chaos, like Carl Anderson, was a member of Chaos, so was Tetsuya Naito. So all the big players in New Japan have been members of Chaos at one time or another. Interesting, the long-term faction, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with this, because essentially Chaos is the biggest faction in New Japan, has always traditionally had the biggest stars, so they're playing with fire here, aren't they?
And it's also going to, is it going to be a Chaos and then one or two get thrown out, or is it going to be a split more down the middle? What's going to happen?
Who's going to be the boss?
Yeah, and who's going to side with whom? There's all these questions. You've got Roppongi 3K. Who are they going to be loyal to?
Yeah, I had an interesting idea whilst we were talking, and just the way that that last match, we haven't really talked that much about the match, we should do, but...
well, that's the thing, the end was so crazy that...
Okay, well, the match was really, really good, as you'd expect it from these two. Not necessarily one of their best, but it was exceptional. And the end of the match, of course, Tanahashi wins with High Fly Flow. And the end of the match... they're both exhausted, and Jay White comes down and attacks both of them because he wants the number one contender slot and he wants rid of Okada.
The little shit.
Yoshihashi comes down to make the save.
Gosh.
But bless his cotton socks, trips and brains himself on the apron, splitting his head open. Manages to recover himself, bleeding from a bunch of places, and manages to get rid of Jay White, who very gingerly throws him out of the ring so he can recover on the floor.
Gingerly? He threw a chair at his face.
I don't think he realized how badly hurt he was.
Josh was clearly concussed, and then threw a chair at his face.
Yeah. Well, I thought so. But yeah, but when you look at afterwards, Jay went out and didn't go stomping on him as you'd expect him to do. He went and had a quiet chat with him.
Well, I'm sure Jay did what he could, but I just remember this image of this chair flying at Yoshi's face, and it was clear he wasn't ready to receive that chair.
Oh, God. And then Gedo came down to make the save as Okada tried to fend off Jay White from further attacks on Tanahashi and himself. And Gedo took the chair from Jay White and then slaughtered Okada with the chair and turned his back on his former cash cow and walked out of the building.
Former best friend,
and walked out on the building saying, let's leave both these losers here. Which is one way of defending it. Stating your claim to being... a new alliance in Jay White and Gedo. So we shall see what happens there. Mm-hmm. What do you think will happen?
I don't know. First of all, let's just mention Yoshihashi again, because I've been talking about it a lot on Twitter, and I just feel so sorry for the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can relate to him so much because I'm an anxious mess as well, and I'm an underachiever as well, so he's me. And just, I can just imagine for a second that you've got this big break at work. You're finally in the middle of something big, and you've been on the edge of something like that for a while, but people never trusted you to do well, and people have been mocking you and calling you an underachiever who always fails and stuff like that. And then this really big thing happens, and it's your moment. Yeah. You're going to make the save, and you walk out, you run out, and you trip.
Yeah.
And you basically break your face. And you're bleeding all over everyone, and you're concussed, and you've re-injured your shoulder, and everyone's now going to mock you for months and years.
Just horrible.
It's just horrible. I feel so bad, and it's not even me.
Yeah, no, it's just wrong. It's not fair. Just up and down. And then just
all
not
the
fair.
Jokes the moment it happened.
Yeah. I couldn't. And it's Yoshihashi, so it's going to happen, isn't it? That's just because it is, and it's not fair on him. It had to happen to him. Why couldn't it have happened to anyone else?
If it had happened to Omega,
yeah,
people would be defending it.
Yeah, and
oh, it happens. Accidents happen.
But because it's Yoshihashi, and then it's the same thing with Brie Bella kicking Liv Morgan in the face, isn't mm-hmm. it? It is like, well, she's dangerous, and it's like. Well, wrestling is inherently dangerous. Yes, it probably wasn't the safest kick in the world, but Seth Rollins nearly killing Finn Balor and ending his career, that Brock Lesnar every time he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
You know.
And I get that people compare it to Titus, but Titus got up right away.
Yeah.
And wrestled a match. Yoshihashi got up and had blood streaming down his face and was clearly concussed.
And finished the angle.
And still finished the angle.
Yes. Wasn't maybe as good.
And took a chair to the face.
Yeah, it maybe wasn't as good as he wanted it to be, but he finished the angle.
Yeah.
And you should be
anyway.
And you should be talking about Okada and Tanahashi. Here's my thought on this, and this is another one out of my head thoughts. What if Okada recruits Tanahashi to lead Chaos?
I saw someone mention something similar, but then with Kenny Omega. What if Okada recognizes that he can't beat Jay White and whoever he recruits alone?
Yeah.
So he needs Kenny Omega and maybe Kota Ibushi.
That's interesting.
I haven't been thinking about it personally because I like being surprised, but
yeah.
I thought that was interesting as well. Like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing.
Because Okada has... obvious respect for Tanahashi, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's done everything. Okada we know doesn't exist without Tanahashi, and I think even Okada in character admits that. Okada has fallen so far because you think before Dominion, his last successful challenger was Tanahashi, and he put him away. He beat him emphatically. Impossibly the best match they've ever had, but he beat him emphatically. And 3 months later, 6 months later, he can't get close. So that's the reason why I think Tanahashi and Okada would be interesting, because you've got Tag League around the corner as well. And Tanahashi and Okada in Tag League would be unreal, wouldn't it?
Would that be fair, though?
I don't care.
Okay.
Gorillas of Destiny or Young Bucks versus Okada and Tanahashi in the final. How cool would that be? Lovers versus Okada and Tanahashi in the final.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I just like the contrast of Okada being forced to work with someone he doesn't like. Tanahashi or Omega, or I don't really care.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, because it also... It could also be that he needs someone from Chaos because he's been throwing Chaos aside.
Yeah.
That might also be a good story, that he can't do it by himself. Like, I think Okada, Ishii are fighting the Golden Lovers.
Yes,
is
they
that
are.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, what if you start a storyline that Ishii is like, well, you've abandoned us, kind of.
Yeah.
Why should I help you? And then Okada has to win back the trust of those in his corner.
Yeah, that would be the most interesting way of going about it, I think. Lots of things to play with. And well, next week,
that's the joy of wrestling, right?
It is, exactly. You know, next week we'll be in Long Beach for Fighting Spirit Unleashed, I believe. FSU, which is bizarre because there's a tag team. There was a tag team in Progress called FSU, which was Eddie Dennis and Mark Andrews, who broke up and have had this massive feud, which will be blown off at the Big Wembley show. So yes, FSU Fighting Spirit Unleashed in Long Beach at the Pyramid the next weekend. We'll be reviewing that next week. The week after that will be King of Pro Wrestling, so we'll be reviewing that the week after, and then we'll get back to the Beginner's Guide to Japanese Wrestling, which I know I said we was going to look at some UWFI, but we actually decided to look at IWA King of Death matches.
King of Death.
Yes. So me and Alex will be reviewing that on Saturday.
Are KES on that?
No, they're not.
Everyone dies?
They should be. But I'm trying to think. They would have been about seven in 1995.
Well, they could have been. I trust them. Well, there's quite a bit of age difference between those two, isn't there?
Tiger Jeet Singh versus a 12-year-old Lance Archer.
Isn't Lance Archer much older than David Smith? Like
Harry's eight? Harry's just over 30, isn't he? Or just under 30, I think. And Lance is quite a bit older.
I think he's in his 40s.
Yeah, but he's been around longer than you think.
It doesn't matter.
Because the earliest I saw him was about 2010 Impact Wrestling, I think.
I saw really old pictures of him, and he looked ridiculous.
Is that back tattoo?
No, it's the hair. It was really short, and I've only known him with really long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, a fear of getting tangles, because whenever I look at him, my hair starts to tangle. It's like, that's not good. So seeing him with short hair was crazy.
Bizarre.
Crazy trip.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure. Mind you, Harry Smith made his pro wrestling debut at about 8 years old.
See?
Yeah, him and Tyson Kidd.
They could have been there.
Him and Tyson Kidd and Smothers had a show on a WWE show that Davey Sr. Organized for them. So it must have been about 93, 94. And they wrestled each other on that show. So yes, they were active wrestlers, but probably not best putting
dark
them.
Match.
Probably not best putting them in a no rope exploding barbed wire C4 exploding death match with Terry Funk.
Okay, fine.
Because I believe that would be called irresponsible.
I am never irresponsible.
No, you are a delight.
Yes, I told you that. You didn't believe it at first. How dare you?
An aggressive delight.
No, I'm not. I'm sweet and gentle and angelic.
Yes, you are.
Good.
Okay, and you can find her at SmarkInfested on Twitter, and also at NJPWGIFs, and at Wrestling Sexism if you'd like to talk about some wrestling sexism. There's a lot of it about.
It's really entertaining. It's always fun talking about wrestling sexism.
Oppressing agenda, yes. and other fun stuff like that to talk about. But you might have more fun at New Japan GIFs.
Probably.
Yes. You can find her there. Thank you very much for your time this week.
Well, thank you for having me. This was really, really fun.
It was. It was awesome. And we will speak to you soon. Hopefully we'll have you on the FSU show. But definitely King of Pro Wrestling. Or something soon along those lines. Well, I'm not sure if we're doing Tag League this year. We've been umming and ahhing about doing Tag League. But the trouble is we're that knackered after doing the G1. Doing it all again for an even longer period of time. With matches we're not that bothered about.
Well, I'm up for it.
You're up for it. I'm up for it, kind of. But I've got a load of jobs.
You're excited and you're going to enjoy it.
I am excited and I would enjoy it, but I have got more work on at the moment, so
Fine. Yeah. You're just ruining everything for me right now.
I'm not ruining everything.
First the KES in the death match thing, and now this.
Okay. I think Lance Archer in death matches is going to be like an ongoing joke. I can tell already.
No, it's not. We don't have ongoing jokes. Never.
Ever, 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 ever. Hair.
Hair.
But you can find her at all those Twitter handles. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show. Like some more Facebook followers. That would be lovely. I think we've got about 12. I realise no one in wrestling uses Facebook anymore. And it is like, whenever I get asked to go interview a wrestler or something, they're going to get this the Facebook message. It's like, this is their Facebook. And I'm like, really? They're not on Twitter like normal people? It's slightly bizarre. And the daft thing is, like, the entire Total Wrestling stuff is run from Facebook. And it's like,
it's really weird.
It's weird. All of us.
I'm never on there.
No.
And I definitely don't do any wrestling things, because then my entire family who's on Facebook will ask me, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Because people in the Netherlands, they don't really watch wrestling.
Yeah, well, I get the same, like, so you're a wrestling fan then. I see you watch a lot of wrestling, just because the only thing I post on Facebook all week is a repost of...
Wouldn't even know what it is, though. They'd probably just ask me, why are there so many half-naked men on your page? I get the same thing. I draw a lot of wrestlers, and then people see my notebook, and they ask, why are they all naked?
Yeah. I had a similar thing today. I'm watching that Deathmatches tournament, and I was doing it on the bus, and it's all right when there's no one around you. Because, you know, there's Mr. Ganesuke bleeding like a stuck pig. As Tiger Jeet Singh tries to ram a chain in his forehead. That's not polite things to watch in public.
No.
So I did not, when anyone was close to me, I turned it off and watched something else instead.
Yeah, and don't ever draw people with masks where others are watching you.
No, that might send people the wrong message.
It's really awkward.
Oh dear. Anyway, where was we? Yes. More people on Facebook would be lovely. And if you could put some more iTunes reviews up for us, that helps our logarithm at no end. That would be nice too. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll be back next week with New Japan Pro Wrestling in Long Beach. Take care, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.